Hello everyone, this is Dr. Sudhi Mohandas from iFirst International. I'm the co-founder and managing director. Today we have for our program Andal Krishna, who is someone I quite admire. She's with me right now, and at this point in time we're going to talk about her and get into her mind and also what she does on a day-to-day basis. Hello Andal.
Hi Sudhi, nice to talk to you.
Great. So maybe let's start off first by asking you about what is it you do for the nonprofits or in a day-to-day basis. What do you do?
All right. I mean, I do have a regular job because that pays the bill. But yes, I do. A big chunk of my life is with nonprofit. And under nonprofit, I do two things. One, education. The other one, women empowerment. The education part has come about because in my other life, I do corporate training, I do education, teaching. And whatever we do for money should be available for those, for free, for those who can't pay for it. So that's my education path of nonprofit. At the same time, women is part of me too. And again, I look at the fact that I've had a lot of advantages and I have a lot of things going for me, which again a big chunk of women don't have. So for that I joined the National Association of Women Entrepreneurs, and we help women at every level, what they call the T20, the M40 and the B40. So for different levels of women there are different programs. So last year I did a lot for the B40. Who are the B40s? They are women who may not have been so lucky to have the full gambit of education. That means they may not have gone to university. Or they may not even have got a diploma. So they had probably dropped out of school and suddenly find that they need to go to work because of economics. So we work with them and say, right, you missed this path, but you can go into business. And you can actually get very famous and rich. So we really tell them, and it's a fact, over and over again, you've heard stories, those who have not finished college, and yet today they are right on top. So with that kind of motivation, we help them start a business. And starting a business is very structured. And we do the whole thing. How do you start a company? How do you do finance? What skills you need? What kind of core skills you need to sell the product or to have a product? And then what kind of soft skills you need? And how do you network? And now, how do we put it all on the internet? Because nobody's going to come to your retail. And which is good for you because you don't have to pay for your retailers. So it's very exciting that we work with this group of women. And now WAM has got the M40 and the T20. So for these women, we are their role models. So that really is passionate.
Yeah, I'm just amazed. How do you juggle between doing the education part and the women? And I'm also kind of assuming that you merge them both, right? When you focus on the B40, you also look at education for the B40 women. How do you do this, and what is it that keeps you motivated?
Yeah, I'll tell you first how we do it, because the education part by and large are for children and young adults. So we do reading, we do basic literacy. So that's different.
Is that in a particular area?
It is in, we start with the reading and writing for those who missed out in literacy. Then as they move on, we do a lot of communication skills, because at the end of the day, if you don't write and you don't speak well, you can be so clever, nobody knows. So we have to make them visible. So that's the education part. And then of course the women empowerment. But don't forget, I go to work. And if I have to earn something at the end of the month. What keeps me motivated is really, I'm just so lucky. Because they seem to need this and I have something they need. So that is a match done somewhere. Someone needs it, then I just happen to have it. So it's a non-brainer.
But something, may have triggered you to get this. And I'm not sure how far back did you get involved in education and women. But something would have triggered you. And being a woman yourself, And I understand for a long while you're a housewife.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what is it then brought you into this foray?
Yes. And maybe that's true. Having married very young and stayed at home for a few years when the children were young, I had to go back. I wanted to, of course, go for my studies and do that. I realized that you need someone out there who would give you that encouragement, mentor you, help you, because you're lost. You've missed out in this very, very competitive world. So we now want to be those mentors and coaches and just drag them out of their, in this kind of quagmire where they're lost. But once you take them out, you know what is so wonderful? You see them flying. And then you're like, wow, did that really happen? But I want to answer the other question, what is motivating me? I think the fact is I feel we all have a purpose. And some of us have certain skills. And so I just leverage on my skills.
When did you realize that? Many people, I'm sure, go through similar kind of scenarios like you. But how? When did you realize? And when did you realize that you have to take ownership and make it happen? When did it happen?
Yeah, now that you've asked me, it's a good question. I've never thought about it. Frankly, you know, I've never really thought about it. I just feel I'm put in a place. Mm. And I look around, nobody's doing, so I do it.
So it just happened?
I just happened. I've never thought that, is there a plan for me? Am I put in this world to do all this? No. Frankly, no. I've got a very good friend, and she's a really an amazing leader. And I remember her telling me one day, when something is not done, you just go in and do it. And I think that's how I do all this volunteer work. When I see the place very crowded, there are lots of people doing it, I always step back. I said, it's fine.
So you're saturated already. Yeah.
Then I won't do. But then I always find there is something that's not done. So I go in and do it. And then make sure it reaches fruition.
And you take, how do you know you have the skills?
Over the years, the people tell you to start with. When you make mistakes, kind of recover and make sure that you don't make any other mistakes. And here at this point, I wanted to say that it's your inner voice, your self-talk. Do that a lot, and talk to people who are very critical of you, but you got to stomach all those criticisms. But they give you some wisdom, and I take that on board. So just basically do whatever is required to do. Don't wait for anything to happen. And
I'd like to take you to another level of conversation, and that is the fact that today I've seen many women focus on the women. Mm. And I'm just wondering whether are we for a long time been neglecting the men?
Mm.
And should it be just the women who should be focusing on the men as well, or the men should be focusing on the men?
Yes.
Or even the men should start now looking into women issues. I know men are now become feminist. Can you say women are masculine? I don't know whether there's such a thing.
Yeah,
so maybe
they call them alpha women.
Yeah, you call them alpha women.
Well, that means, you know, they act like a man, meaning they think like men, and they say you have to be alpha to get on top in a C-suite, mm-hmm. board of directors. Though I don't think it's very true either. But there are people. You're absolutely right. I really don't want to look at it as just women. I look at women as complementary to men, and men as complementary to women. A woman shouldn't be a handicap to a man, and a man shouldn't be a handicap to a woman. I think once we sort out the equality thing, to some extent, that no one is more equal than the other, because when you do that, then there's abuse. So once we get that out of the way, and we say, okay, this is we're all human. Once we get to that level, I certainly think there shouldn't be women just helping women and men just helping men. Or there should be this cross help, and that'll be good for everyone. And today, some of the people who are championing women to get into C-suite and to get into the boards are men. They look for women who can complement it. In fact, I was having a chat with some board of directors where, you know, they have a board of about 15 people. There may only be two women, and the rest are men. Now, it's not that men are not interested in getting the women in. Number one, a lot of women may not want to be in. That's a big thing, you know. Not every woman is ambitious. It's not the door is closed. They actually close the door behind them when they go away. They're very happy to do the nurturing. So we should also let them be what they want to be. So the thing is, the men welcome the women, but this is a big but. There are rules. There's a game to play. You've got to know the rules. If you go there and rock the boat, you're not welcome there. And for that goes with a man. If a man goes to a board and he rocks the boat, he's not going to be very welcomed. So I think the women have to learn to play this game in this platform and still be a woman. And men would be very happy to have that. Now, I think you have daughters as well, and I have a daughter. We never restrict them in terms of what education they want. They were allowed to study as much as they can. They were given equal rights. So no man, if he does it for his daughter and his wife and his sister, he won't do it for the other women. So men are there in the picture, and I don't think there is this. Gone are the days that kind of feminist movement, and women don't need that anymore.
Okay. Well, Andal, your wealth of wisdom, and I definitely could go on and on with this, but I think we'll have to end here. And yeah. Thank you very much for your insights and your a little sneak preview into what's in your mind on these matters. Well, this is Dr. Sudhir Monda signing off for iFirst International. If you're interested, please visit our podcast, www.ifirstinternational.com. Bye.